Damaged Goods Podcast. I mean, it's different though, because like, first of all, I never thought about being this old. I never thought about living to be this age. Don't think about like I'm supposed to be dead. And then also like the experience of being like a mind slave, you know, for so long, the burns and everything I went through, having these kids, being in a committed relationship for 15 years.
Yeah, and being in a relationship take you out of the zone of being single.
Yeah. So I'm still, like, I'm to the point where, like, I don't care. Like, we can get married, and I'm like, why would I turn down a beautiful woman? Because we married.
It's tough, dude. Yo, you're talking about how you never thought you'd be this old. Like, in the greater good days and stuff, we were like the X-Men. I was like, you know, back when you were Amadeus, I was like, this dude's like Wolverine. He's like 200 years old. Like, you've been this age for 200 years. You know what I'm saying? Just like.
Right. Deadpool thing going for me now, bro.
Yeah, there you go.
Know what I'm like, that's not good. Deadpool, yeah. Because I'm a goofball. I talk a lot of shit, you know what I'm saying, while I'm going through a lot of drama.
Yeah, I'd be going on my Incredible Hulk shit. Like, I'm really chill. I don't want to get angry because then I can't control myself. And then there's a hole in the door and my pants are ripped at the knees and my clothes don't fit and I forgot it all. I just like the music. I don't know if you watched the Incredible Hulk show from like the 70s. Super sad.
Oh, bro.
Where he's like hitchhiking on this. What a sad. Yeah. It's like a superhero show, but he's like hitchhiking. Saddest music ever, dog. Ear jerk.
Incredible Hulk. Bruce Banner.
And you know, it was hilarious. They gave, you know, Bruce is a name that stereotypically people associated with gay dudes in the 70s, but they give the Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner, the toughest, craziest, baddest motherfucker ever. Like, yeah call right. me Bruce motherfucker, what, you know?
Right. That song, somebody had that said whatever.
Dude, it's sad as fuck, dude.
That's real, road music. That's real hitchhiking.
I mean, that's a sad thing. Like, imagine, like, you're just this chill ass scientist, dude. And when you get really angry, you black out. You have no knowledge of what you're doing, what you did. You ruin your whole wardrobe, and you got to go on the run because people are trying to hunt you down, and you can't really control it. It's fucking sad, you know. Like,
that's not like Skinzo's life, bro.
Yeah,
he used to always show up with no shoes and no pants on.
They're like not gonna let
him. Bro, where was you? He's like, I don't know, dude. I'm like, bro, how much are you drinking?
This Wolverine 200 plus year old adamantium skeleton voice is my man. He's a recurring guest on Damaged Goods Podcast. He's an artist in all facets of the word. He's a musician, a spiritual dude. He's also made a foyer into fucking MMA. We'll talk about his fights coming up, stand-up comedy. There's nothing this man can't do. We were in the greater good together. He's my brother. He's an intelligent dude. You might have known him as Amadeus of Stampede, but it's my man Quizzimodo, New Machina, Quiz the Coyote, live and direct from Philadelphia. We're zooming in. He's in Philly. I'm in LA. So
yeah. I gotta come out. I told you I wanted to. When I leave Washington, come down that way.
I mean, it looks cold where you are. It's fucking hot here, and it's like sunny as all hell. It's great. Gorgeous.
I'm in Philly right now. I went to Ballet Studios, MMA gym, see what it was like, and then
for your fight.
I was late, bro. But anyway, yeah, I'm getting ready. So I didn't get to really train. I learned some stuff, but I didn't get to really train. So I ran a little bit, hooked up and did this podcast, and like we were talking before we talked. He was like, what's Qigong? And I was like, I gave him some a little bit of instruction, trying to do butterfly kicks, doing backflips and all that. Like, it was fun. But by the time we got to the bar, I'm mad. So much time. I was like, bro, you ain't got a couch. I can't even take a nap with you, bro. That's why I got to do that. Yo, you got to get the car. You made me
laugh. Wizard's backflip game is legendary. You've been backflipping since I knew you. We were in a park one time. I don't even think you were drunk. And you were just backflipping off like a picnic table. And I was like, yo, this dude's going to break his neck. Landed on you. Backflipped off the stage at the Middle East, which is a club in Boston, Cambridge, we used to perform at. Backflips, I won't even backflip off a fucking diving board because I'm afraid I'm going to just smash my body on the water. Belly flop, back flop. But yeah, you got backflips.
We've done parkour before. We know we're going.
You're also tall. I feel like it's harder to be able to do flips if you're tall. More likely you're going to catch your legs or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all core strength. Like, it's not even, like, really, like, jumping that high. It's core strength.
That's true.
That's
Like
all it is.
speed, like rotation, quick.
So like when you tighten your body, it's lighter, it moves faster. It'll flip over faster, you got less work to do. You kick real fast, like, you know, you kick your legs over, tighten your body, you'll flip over. A
Yeah.
lot of dudes do it part of their workout, but yeah, core strength's important. It's the most important than anything. It's the
Yeah.
biggest muscle, like the biggest group of muscles in your body that's gonna do all the work.
Yeah, I mean, surfing
Try to
is
work it.
poor shit. So I do a ton of like lower back, ab work, not to like be ripped with a six pack, which is the, you know, squats, you know, shit. You got to carry furniture in the house or some shit. Use your core. It supports
Yeah,
your
of
surfing. It's
course.
mostly core. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like the foundation of your body.
Yeah, it's not it's the one that holds everything together. It's
Mm-hmm.
mostly your spine, you know what I'm saying? It's what holds your legs to your toes. Bro, this what helps your shoulder blades move, your arms, it's all that. So like people don't get that, but once you get that, you're a healthier person.
Yeah, dude, like you
Like
get older,
the psoas
you
exercise.
gotta
The hip
work on your
flexor, yeah.
core as you get older as a man, especially if you're a big dude, because
That.
carrying a lot, you're gonna fucking throw your back out doing some stupid shit like moving sneakers around the house. So, like,
Yeah.
yeah, do your bench press, your pull-ups, all that, but like work on your core, strengthen your lower back, you know?
Like even when when I was weak and fat and like
So weak,
effeminate, I could
fat.
still do pull-ups and stuff because I had a strong core.
You said weak, fat, and feminine.
Effeminate, yeah, from the medication.
I mean, dude, I know people who like big dudes who bench press way more than I can, and they can't do a chin-up or a pull-up. It's funny, and they're
They
huge.
have no core.
And like, I'm majority of my workout is pull-ups, chin-ups. It helps with surfing. It's like, God, if I'm ever in a situation where I'm gonna fall over the edge of a building in an action movie, you gotta pull yourself up the edge of the building
Yeah.
cliff. It's all chin-ups and pull-ups, bro. You know, I love pull-ups and chin-ups. You know what I mean? It's great.
We have some video from the I was doing part like a little bit. I hopped off the like the balcony of this thing he's at over by the water. He got it on video. I just did it because it was fun. Like we out there being fun and having exercise. Might as well just go.
So you're training, Quiz is training for his first MMA fight, and you know,
Yep.
you've always been a. You know, you've been in the octagon of the streets. You know what I mean? Like, I've been in altercations with you, not you and I against each other, but other people. I've seen you in action. Handle yourself quite well. Fighting in a organized setting, very different. There's rules, there's time, there's certain variables that don't exist in the streets and vice versa. And
Yeah.
you've always been quick with your hands. You're training jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, very big in MMA. Have you
Which
ever,
is,
I mean, I'm not encouraging one to get into scraps out in the
yeah.
world. Have you ever used like jiu-jitsu in a fight outside of MMA?
I've never, like, I just started doing it. So, no. Well, you know, basically in the streets, like, you scoop slam, you might,
Yeah.
pick somebody up by their waist, trip their feet, put them on their head. Like, so. It, not like the stuff I'm learning is like, bro, like this is
Jokes.
crazy. Not, yeah, but how you learn it feels weird because you'll never be like, ah, let's fight and lay down on your back. Like, so it's
Yeah,
kind of like,
it's a start
but
on
then if a lot of people who take jujitsu, they have to learn where it comes from first. And jujitsu itself is different than Brazilian jujitsu because jujitsu is what the samurais use.
yeah, Japanese shit when they lose a sword, right?
Yeah, you lose a sword, you gotta. Because you do it to the death. So, we lose a sword, you better get his. Or get, you know what I'm saying? So, that's what it was. What the Brazilians did was, let's make it a sport. And they, you know, they named the moves after the people who were doing them best. So, a lot of the names that you have for these moves are actual people's names that pioneered BJJ.
Oh,
But,
that's cool. I didn't know that.
yeah, like all that, yeah, the Kimura, like all these different names is all, they have names. Japanese names, right? But the Japanese names would be like, you know, pulling the plum from the tree or something like that in Japanese. So it's just like any other Asian martial art.
It's, yeah.
So now I knew about jiu-jitsu before I ever did it. I didn't know about Brazilian jiu-jitsu until maybe UFC got really popular.
Yeah.
I fought an MMA dude once in the streets. He was like an amateur football player and an MMA fighter. And this was the longest, hardest fight I ever had.
Was it all
I
on
forget
the
the dude's
ground?
name. Huh? No,
Was it all on the ground?
it wasn't. Like, it was not. Like, I had him in a toe. I punched the shit out of him, bro. I had all his jewelry. I snatched his jewelry. I had all his jewelry in my hand. And he's like, the girl was like, run. I was like, run for what? I just got his jewelry. He said, he got out the
Run.
car. He said, "You don't
allegedly,
know me anymore."
Quiz allegedly took his jewelry in a fight. This is entertainment for the podcast.
Entertainment, right? So he's like, "You don't know me from a hole in the wall." Back then, they used to call me Splash because I would cut dudes. I ain't had nothing on me. So the dude said, "Bah!" He punched me. I'm like, "Yo," he hit me so hard, just instinctually, I pulled him in a total package like we was playing on the playground. I had him like a wrestling move.
Yeah.
He's like, he started getting weaker and weaker. Let me go. And he started softening. And he got weaker and weaker, and I let him go, and he popped up like the Tasmanian devil and elbows, knees.
So he kind of was playing me, right?
Uppercuts. He was throwing everything in the kitchen sink at me, and like we just going at it for like the girl. I guess one of us hit the girl with like in a you know powder. Yeah. So she got punched in the eye, and then after a while, it's just like he's white. He's like turning pale because he's bleeding out from a head, like busting his head on my head. Oh. And I walked away. Yeah, he walked away. I walked away. He's like. I was like, "Yeah, you go to the hospital, bro." Like, my whole face is busted, his face, but he was covered in blood, like, just leaking. I don't even think he was hurt that bad. It was just, the spot was so big. Cut, it was just everywhere. Like, he was going to die if he didn't go to the hospital. So that was that. And I was like, "I got to learn how to do that." You know what I'm saying? But I know, I got to learn how to do
That's
that.
That's like an 80s martial arts movie where, like, you know, a kid gets in a fight or gets beat and sees dudes, or, you know, like the sensei
yeah.
dude comes to town and whoops all these punks' asses, and they're like, "Can you teach us?" You know, like they come back. Like, that's really
yeah. That was like that when I was upstate. I was doing Qigong, and dude was like, "What are you doing?"
Yo, Qigong is that's Bruce Lee shit, right?
Well, Qigong is basically like meditation.
Oh, no. What's Bruce Lee shit? I should know this, dude.
Jeet Kune Do.
Yeah.
And he did Wing Chun. He started with Wing Chun, but he did Jeet Kune Do, which is mixed martial arts.
I don't know if I ever told you, like, if you ever see my mother again, like, she has this fat gold dragon ring, and it used to have an emerald in the mouth. The emerald was falling out, but it's huge. Back in the 70s, she used to date this Chinese dude. He had gone to Bruce Lee's school in Hong Kong. You only get this golden dragon ring with an emerald in it if you go to the school. This dude dated my mother. He was obsessed with her. I can't talk about it too much because this is going to be a chapter in my next book, but he was obsessed with my mother, right? Gives her the ring, whatever. She breaks up with him, and he's fucking nuts. And he's trying to get it. Now, my mother's, you know, probably 20s. So she's not living at home no more. Most of her siblings are gone, but she's got a big Irish family. So she's got a couple younger siblings at the house, my, you know, grandparents' house. This Chinese dude's rolling through, you know, threatening my aunt and uncle, my mom's little siblings. Like, "Where's your sister?" This and that, like trying to find her because he's obsessed with her. He's psycho. And eventually, like, kidnapped my mother, dude. These guys like kidnapped my mother, and that's how my father and my mother met. I won't get into the details, but my father she was like forced to stay at this apartment above like some Chinese restaurant where she was kind of like working in by force, you know. And it wasn't like a hard kidnapping, she's not like duct taped in the corner, but it's like a threat, like, "You're not gonna go nowhere, I love you, stay here, you see her, see the ring, she'll tell you all about it." And then my father and one of his partners were in there one day, and she knew who he was because weird. My father dated my mother's oldest sister before. And she's like, "Yo, this dude's holding me here," like all this crazy shit. So my father and some dudes went back like the next night and like just took her out of there. And then that was it. But yeah. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, that's my Bruce Lee connection story, dude.
That's his Bruce Lee connection.
It's almost an unbelievable story. But if you see this ring, dude, there's a finite amount of those in the world. You had to go to the school. Yeah. Maybe he just wanted the ring back. She tried to give it to me years ago. I was like, "Nah, I don't want that yet. That's too much responsibility."
That's his curse.
You shouldn't wear that. I told her, like, put it in a fucking safe. Let's close that in glass. Yeah. But
then let the museum rent it from
you. Dude, my mother never hit me. That was not her role, but she did smack me maybe a couple times to remind me. And dude, that fucking ring was so big, like just a love tap. She would call it love taps. That ring was that would slice the dome open like you did to that fucking guy in the fight. Huge.
Yeah, that's a crazy Bruce Lee connection though.
Bro, it's nuts, dog.
Like the craziest.
It's almost the craziest story. Right? Just to say that, yeah, my mother was kidnapped. My father and his boys busted her out. And it was this dude from Bruce Lee's school. And he was, my grandfather had like sent some Irish hoodlums to like talk the dude down before my mother was even kidnapped. But my grandfather was like a carpenter, construction worker, drinker. He wasn't much of a, so I don't think it was quite effective, you know?
Yeah.
So, dude, you know what? You know, we made music for years. You still make music. Yeah. And you jump into the realm of organized fighting and you're doing stand-up comedy. And like, I guess they're all creative, especially the music and the comedy. But like, dude, I don't know, to go on stage and do stand-up and then go fight, like, I feel like you'd have to totally change your mental dynamic. Like, to, like when I just exercise, I gotta get angry. It's fuck mad as hell to do push-ups, you know?
So my I mean, most of my workouts are stretching and mobility, so like it's fun. And
So you, are you
because I've
laughing
had
and
so
doing jokes while you're working out?
yeah, like dudes hate me, bro. They even hate that I some dudes hate that I got to fight so early. Like I gotta fight
Oh,
less than 2 months.
I could
You know what
see
I'm saying?
that. I could. That makes sense.
Yeah, like dudes, then like whatever bullies are in the gym or whatever, it's not like we can work it out. I don't have a problem with it. Like it's not like serious, like they're supportive, they're helping me win the fight, but they're all probably guys who haven't been there a little bit longer than me. They may feel a way about me,
You
my
see that in
attitude.
music, though, bro. You would see that in music. Somebody only does a few
All the
shows,
time, yeah. Like
well, one
that's
project after
part of being an
another.
underdog. That's part
People
of
are
being
like,
an
yo,
outlier.
right? I pay dues. Why am I not on? And sometimes it's a skill thing. Sometimes it's a who you know, who you meet, the timing wise, you know. At least I feel like in music, it's different. But in fighting, it's based on skill. Sports is not as subjective. It's like you ain't in the NBA unless you're good. It's not like, oh, this guy's popular, but he sucks in music, but he's you know, he's popping. But in, you know, sports fighting, you gotta be good. You can't be like, you're not gonna get fights if you suck.
Right. Well, I mean, and another thing is, so, you know, we know where I'm from, right? So I was the funny dude. I was the tough dude. Like, I was a funny dude. I was a good fighter. I had a lot of balls. And I was so correct. You
I feel like you
know what
being
I'm saying? Like,
funny and
I was
tough
that dude.
makes you more menacing, dude, because, you know, if you guys are listening, listen with your eyes, Damaged Goods podcast people. Quiz is, you know, he's a sweet dude, great smile, but you could be menacing to the wrong person. But when somebody's like also humorous at the same time, it makes it almost more menacing. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
Basically, yeah, they feel disrespected, like scared.
well, it's like they can't gauge you. Like, fuck,
Yeah.
is he like me? Is he gonna rock me to sleep? Is this real? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times when people like face to face, when you get close to them, they start to realize there's a certain look. Two fighters looking at each other that they're not gonna break gaze until there's understanding.
Yo, yeah, totally. And I know exactly what you're saying.
And most times the understanding between other fighters, yo, show me some of what you know. Like, where you train at? And there's, you don't have to talk about it. It's just like, we can work it out, but we're not gonna have to, right? Because there's a certain, like, I'm not scared of shit, bro.
Right.
But in the beginning, when you're, you know, 13, 14, 15, and you're terrified all the
Yeah,
time. But then you
terrible.
start winning, and then you stop losing, and then you
Yeah.
start dominating, and you're learning more. And then now you're just like, I started fighting grown men and Marines and fighters like when I was like 15, bro. And
Yeah.
after a while, like it's just even when you lose, you win. Like I used to choke dudes
Just like
out.
Rosie Perez. You
For real, I'll just hold on and they'll punch themselves out. Then they'll be like, all right, they'll tap out. And all the niggas, like, you let that little kid do you like that, nigga? Like dudes will get clowned. Like, but at first it was always terrifying because you know when I see them dudes, they're gonna jump me if they 3D.
Yeah.
Every Saturday. Every time they see me, they're gonna jump me. They're gonna fuck me up. They'll bounce
They
me off
get
the
you
car. They'll
once, then
jump
they're
me up.
gonna get you two or three times because they know it's easy. They're not
Yeah.
gonna have to worry about. You know, there's like the famous Tyson fight when he's fighting Michael Sphinx, you know, and he's already got this crazy rep, and they're in the ring, and Sphinx is, you can see it on his face. He's the champ. Tyson is not yet. He is shit scared. I mean, he's terrified, and he's the champ, and he knows this young kid who's on the come up is ferocious, and you just watch it. You can watch it in the Tyson documentaries, highlights, YouTube, whatever. Yo, Michael Sphinx is the champ, and he's in the ring, and he's shaking his boots, and you can see it in his face, and you can see the Tyson. You can see, not only can you smell the fear, but he can see it in his eyes. I mean, and this guy is terrified, and he goes down. I mean, it's crazy, you know?
It's that's the type of shit that's life changing.
Like what?
Like the first time you feel like that about somebody, like I remember, this is the funny part because this goes into like organized fighting. How many times do you think you gotta get punched in the face before you're comfortable with it?
A few times, because even like the third time, it catches you off guard, dude.
Right. There's no such thing as after a while, there's no such thing as a sucker punch. You see it coming. Like, you know what this dude's saying. You read his body language. You know whatever he's saying you did or whatever. You know he's going to punch you. So don't let him punch you, baby. Like, you in the streets. Don't let him punch you.
There's
There's
no
no such
fair.
thing as a
There's no
sucker
real
punch.
fair ones in the streets. You're better off setting it off than having to retaliate. You know. You know. I
But
mean.
then sometimes, like, now that I'm old, that's I'm gonna tell you part of the reason I started fighting. I was going to do BJJ because my man was like, "Yo, the nervous system's on fire. So I did stand up so I can get thicker skin because I was soft.
You know, I feel like that's actually really smart because you're alone up there. You don't got any DJs, beats, whatever. It's and I feel like it's harder to make people laugh than just make them bob their head to music and shit. So you have to have a thick emotional skin. You know, it's like you're basically in a coliseum, you know, like a gladiator alone, and everybody's in the fucking stands with their thumbs like in, you know, Joaquin Phoenix and Gladiator. Are they going to go up?
And you're gonna feel away when you bomb. You because I'm doing this. I'm gonna be up there doing my 5 minutes. I never tapped out on stage. I bombed. I felt weird. My skin tingled. And after a while, I started getting good. I started to like it. So I still do it. And I got a dope story about getting canceled on stage once.
Getting canceled on stage? What were they like? They sandmanage you? Like, nah, you're done, dude?
Nah, it was like, I said a word. I'm not going to say the word. You can imagine what the word is. And then somebody was like, we're going to cancel him, right? Like, and, you know, it's darkness, right? So this is the fun part. I don't know who's saying it.
Audience members saying this, though.
We're going to cancel him, right? Like, we're not going to, who's ever running this is going to get him. So I'm laughing. I'm like, who's saying that?
Yeah.
The dude came over and was like, yo, don't tell no more jokes. Do your music. And that's the good thing about being polymath, because they're like, well, you can entertain us in a different way. So then I did the music. I get off stage. I said, who said it? Now I'm smiling. Like, who said it? Was you serious? Like, and then nobody said nothing, but they were all pointing at this one guy. Yeah. They're all pointing at this one guy who reached for his phone to record me when I lost my shit. He's reaching for his phone, I said, are you going to try to record me right now? I was like, my name's Chrissy Moto, the marketer. Here's my Instagram. Let me get over the sounds. Like, all right,
you're a lawyer's worst nightmare, bro. Your lawyers must be like, yo, chill, dog.
I told him to the dude. I go up the street. This is I go up the street to the other club. Like, 20 minutes later, I get on stage. There's one of them in the crowd, an actual one. And we're talking afterwards. Me and this person are talking afterwards. And we're like locked in, just talking to each other, locked in. And I keep looking over my shoulder. Nobody's gonna try to stop this. I know they don't know I know. So nobody's gonna stop this. And I met that person to talk about spirituality. Now, here's the thing. Let's talk about spirituality with one of them, right? Because I wanna know, right? They all into it, whatever. So we meet. And then after a while, I kind of hinted that I knew, you know what I'm saying? And then, I went outside to smoke a cigarette. Now, we had just ordered the food. I didn't even see the food coming. I come back in. The food is packed up. They're paying the bill. They're shaking in their boots. They think I'm going to kill them. They're about to run out. Like,
you gotta
so
make
I sit them down. Like, nah. I sat them down like, nah, it ain't like that. I, you know, gave them a hug. We went our separate ways.
It's even scarier, bro. If I was them and you like played all nice and hugged me, I'd be even more scared. Like, yo, this guy's trying to make me put my guard down.
And I went the next week. I went and told the joke about it. And the punchline of the joke was like, they'll find a body somewhere in Philly. It just wasn't, I didn't do it. If they find a body in Philly, it wasn't me.
Dude, if I was your lawyer, dog, I'd be like, yo, no more talking, bro. Like, allegedly.
The joke landed, bro.
Yeah.
It landed.
Have like, you had a joke? Boy. Land one show, one crowd, and then just not go over well at another or bomb at another. Same joke. Same shit.
Like there's rooms, different rooms. You might be in a hipster. You might be in one of the liberal clubs. You might be in more, the drinking clubs. But it teaches you to read the room. But that joke actually flew in a black club.
Yeah.
And it also flew in a liberal club, which is... Now, it didn't really land, but it flew. Nobody, like, you know what I'm saying?
Songs like that, too, right? You play certain shows, you knew, like, all right, this crowd's trying to party, have a good time. They don't want to hear no poetry. Or this is, like, a political activist crowd. You better not talk about selling drugs and chicks. Like, you have to read the room. And before you even play the show, you have to have a set ready. I used to, like, have a backup set ready, too, just in case I got to a spot. It's a bunch of wasted motherfuckers who just want to hear the beats. Or I know, like, I got to... you know, appease this type of audience, you know, they're finicky or they're real particular, you know, because there's nothing worse. Like you've probably seen dudes at hip hop shows, like they come to rock the party and it's a crowd that wants to hear some poetry, some righteous shit or vice versa. You know, where you're at the fucking Roomba in the Bronx and some dude's trying to kick an acapella about fucking politics. So you're going to get chased the fuck out of there.
That's the, watching you prepare for a show is like watching, you know, Schwartz in the war room, bro. It was kind of crazy. You be locked in, like you're not hardly talking.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was. You was like, But you have like such an extensive catalog, and I like your vulnerable music. I tell you that all the time. Here we go again. But
Yeah, no, but
for me, it was more like I did. You know, I dealt in so many different genres. Like my clique,
yeah.
my scenes didn't touch each other.
You'd have bands, shit you'd rock with different crews. I mean, when I would be like in the green room backstage before a show, I got like hyper focused. I really didn't drink or smoke much before the set. Afterwards, I would, but like it was like not nerves, but like I was just so ready. And the second I step on stage, like there's no worry, there's no nerves, but like I was just focused. Like I just wanted to be in tune with it, look the crowd in the eyes, like one person, 10 people, 2,000, didn't matter. You know, like I just was like
Well,
hyped.
how priceless was that call this mic at the show sometimes? There was a call this mic, you know, it was probably, you loved
Yeah,
it. Everybody,
yeah,
every
yeah.
rapper loved the call this mic.
Oh,
Every
this
rapper.
is hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, we should have had like the pop star, like the evangelical, like big preacher, like earpieces, the Britney Spears earpieces, headpieces,
Like this,
earmuffs, walk around
yeah.
talking. Oh man, yo, you would have been
Oh,
a great big preacher like that, like in a mega church with an earpiece, just getting people to give you their life savings.
mega
Lives.
churches. I was just talking about that. I go to church now because I
Yeah,
have two daughters.
you go to a Baptist church, right?
Yeah, I got two daughters, so yeah, I go to church for my kids. And the thing about it is, walking into that church, it's a white Baptist church. It's
White Baptist.
excellent. Yeah, it's like it's all it's like white people, middle class, upper class. Walking through that church, I feel like. I don't, because you know I'm not a church guy, but
Yeah.
I'm proud to be carrying my daughters through that church and in them pews,
Why
and I
is
still I talked to the
your
pastor
daughter's,
about corrupt,
is she
huh?
Baptist? Is the mother of the
Cool.
daughter's Baptist?
No, she didn't practice no religion either.
But
She's more.
why was the Baptist church chosen?
I was invited by my boss and her husband, who I became friends
Yeah.
with. Yeah, so actually he's my client now. I train him. I'm coming up with a it's called Father Figure, Fight the Dad Bod, Be a Father Figure. And it's a 10-minute workout.
Like the dad
Yeah.
bod.
It's a 10-minute workout. It never goes over 15 minutes.
That's actually pretty genius, bro.
Yeah,
Mark,
and it's low impact.
you
It's a lot of
just
stretching depending on
trademarked it
your
right
age.
here on Damaged Goods. Nobody steal this idea. That's a good idea. Fight the
Yeah, trademark pending,
bro. I
but
know mad motherfuckers out here with dad bods with no kids. They just got dad bods. They got a goddamn kid at all. Bunch of chubby
yeah,
youngins in this motherfucker, bro.
but
Eating some bread.
let's get back into it because I want to explain. This is why I do everything
You
I do.
tying it in, dude. You the host of the podcast of me. Look at you. Well done.
I'm just saying it was who I was as a kid, and then being frozen for 20 years and come back out. I'm still the same person. Volume turned up to 10. It's nothing is new to me. Like
Yeah.
thousands of altercations in the street, mad jokes. I told jokes almost got me killed in the streets. You know what I'm saying? I caught smoke over jokes.
Yeah.
I got beef with gangs over jokes. Like it's just that's what it is. In the
Yeah.
music, I always rapped, always played instruments, all that. Like always been rocking with bands. Like actually one of the kids I went to school with, two of them are in like real big punk bands.
Oh, that's nice.
My man. So I got a man named Trip who's a bass player for the Unseen. He was in my class. Like he was
That's ill.
same class as me. I actually saw him at like some like orgy one time when I first met my baby mama.
Guys make eye
And
contact. Did he like
I
give
ended
you?
up outside. Now it was before nobody put the mask on yet. And I ended up outside rolling with somebody from Joe Lazon's gym while everybody was up there doing whatever they was doing, like we in the grass fighting. That's the type of shit, like, you know what I mean?
That's pretty funny.
And there's another dude who was the lead singer, Tree. And these are
I
the
know
kids I
that.
was, they were both in my car.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know,
Bustamante.
but I know the name of them and shit.
Yeah, Bustamante was in my, I think that's his name, Bustamante. He was in my class too. So a bunch of kids in my band actually went to were in my class too. A couple of kids in my went to my class and then they ended up going to Berkeley.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, it was a blessing. So I fight and do everything as gratitude. And I owe it to the people to show my spiritual growth and to show people that because I was crippled. I went from being, you know, a effeminate mind slave to what you see right now. And nobody in rap knows me as before the medication. I got signed a year after I got
Yeah, I mean,
heavily
I met
medicated.
you because you're a little older than me. I met you. You were already on medication and stuff like that. You know, I mean, maybe
Yeah.
he was a Dom and dudes would tell me tales when you guys were little. But I met you when I was 18. You must have been whatever, 20 something. So you
23 years.
You were already in that world of whatever mental enslavement and effeminate. What was it? Effeminate?
Effeminate. I was feminized. No, look at my eyes in my pictures. Look at my eyes in every picture of Amadeus. Look at my eyes in every picture of Amadeus. Look at my eyes now. My eyes are soft, twinkly.
Yeah. You don't have that like menacing half eye.
Yeah, because it was like, so before they got me though, they and I still deal with the same. I still see shadows. But now that I have a mentor, it's been guiding me through Hemisync. I've been getting guided through Kundalini. I started with yoga. And this is the last podcast I just did. We was talking about basically my spiritual conversion and my growth and my evolution as a human being. And why volumes turned up so high. And like I was telling them, we deal with inhibitions as human beings. That's why everybody lives in anxiety. You always think about this is going to happen if I say this. I can't be myself. I got to adjust to this. But you can move through these different situations and still be yourself. And you as a person who has all that experience with ayahuasca, you just Jake.
That shit changed me like a motherfucker, dude. It brought me
You
back.
Just Jake. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Right?
I was raised Catholic, but I wasn't really adhering to it. And by the time I was in my teens, I was like, fuck that shit, you know? And
yeah.
I was, studying Islam and 5% ideology and shit for years. And my father was Catholic too, but he was awesome. He's like, yo, fuck all that shit. There is no such thing as karma. You know, good people that are struggling or starving. Look, these wicked motherfuckers are living good. He's like, it doesn't matter. Fuck all that. And I was like, damn. And he was kind of real. And I was kind of like, yeah, fuck that. You know, going to Catholic church my whole life and then like not believing in some higher power. I was like, yeah, fuck all that. Like, I'm the soul control, this and that. Get into a dark place, try to kill myself. I'm all fuck, whatever. I do two ceremonies back to back with our mutual friend. And I ended up doing like 27 over 5 years. But the first two, like I stopped being a criminal. I stopped cheating like right away on the first time. And I saw like, you say, oh, I don't see a higher power, so it don't exist. It ain't real. I saw it. Whether, other people do or not, that's fine. I'm not talking about other people. It's just me. Mm-hmm. But I saw it. I felt it. And it changed me. It brought me back to being spiritual, religious, not necessarily Catholic or Christian or Muslim or whatever. It doesn't matter. But something bigger than me, something that humbles me. And I can put my feet. It's not all on my back, And it helped me grow a lot, too. And it's a hard thing for some people to hear that, like, I have a strong spiritual religious connection, but it isn't to one specific religion or form of it or God. You know what I mean? Like, some people get really upset, like, oh, you're not Catholic, you're not Christian, you're not Jewish, you're not Muslim, you're not picking this, you're not Buddhist. And then atheists are the worst. They hate everybody, So it's like, nah, I, whatever you do that makes you better, good for you. This is what makes me better. I can pray. I can go to a mosque. I go to a Baptist church, Catholic church, a synagogue. I can pray right on my couch. And I'm cool. And I respect everybody else's. It's all making people better. That's great. And, I know what works for me.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's different being yourself in all these different situations and then being the situation. Right? Dudes go certain places like, you're work, Jake. You're Catholic, Jake. This is how most people live. Code switching. You know what I'm saying? All that other code switching and all that. I talk the same.
Yeah, you just
I don't use certain words in certain places, but I talk like this.
Yeah, bro, I'm the same everywhere. And sometimes it doesn't fly. Like, I might go meet, somebody's parents, a friend's parents. And I don't like meeting, your mom's cool. I got some friends with cool parents. I don't have to change. You go to somewhere, I can't change. So I just end up muting myself. Not changing, but just being quiet. Because, I don't want to put a mask on for these people. And my family, I don't got to be different. I'm the same way I am with you, with my whole family. And that's awesome around your moms, around a lot of our friends' moms, but some of these other people, I gotta mute. Or a job, I don't have jobs where I gotta fucking pretend.
Right.
I don't get a job where I'd rather work in a warehouse or dishwashing where I can be myself or as a roadie or whatever. I don't wanna put that mask on. And I see people, we know people in our lives. They do that and they get some money out of it and this and that. My man, he sells real estate. He's a felon. He sells real estate. He makes money. One of the few jobs he can have. He fucking hates it. He's faking the funk every day. He's swallowing his pride. He fucking hates it. He has no satisfaction. And I was like, you got to do something outside of that. Even if it's just for fun, get a hobby. Go volunteer at the soup kitchen. Come surf with me. Do something. Because you do that 50, 60 hours a week and it puts food on the table, feeds your kid, but you fucking hate it. And you got nothing. Yeah. You get to do music, you get to fight comedy, I get to write, I get to podcast, I get books. Like, you gotta have shit you like, whether it makes money for you or not. You need to have something else that you like.
I am broke. But you know what? Here, I am broke, but I don't know. I was in the medical thing for a while, like, you know. And the thing was, I was myself. But the thing was, you know what I did was I was nice to people who didn't like me.
That's
Because they would say things out the side of their neck. And instead of me pulling them aside, like, it was go, I was like, all right, here's some cookies. I baked you cookies last night.
fucks him up a little
You know
bit.
what I'm saying? Like, and they get upset, bro. It gets worse.
That's the kill
Then
him with
people
kindness
started,
type shit.
people
They
started
want
attacking
you to,
my
to
character, bro.
respond a certain way. They want a reaction. I
Right.
don't know if I always want to kill him with kindness. I'd rather maybe just like kill him with something else, but not giving into their energy is rewarding. Not trying to, you know, I might not be nice back, but I'm not going to let their shit fuck my day, my life, my week, my vibe up, you know. Now listen, when you put some hands on me or my family, or you do something to fuck with money or whatever, I'm not gonna be so kind, but like you're just a dick at work, or you say some slick shit, whatever. Now
Yeah,
listen.
no, I actually I put I took people's jobs before. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like because
Like
when they
Wall
look
Street, Michael Douglas, Gordon Gekko from 10 City
the
coming in there like
people
Cloverfield, fuck him, he's fired.
want to piss on his ashes. But they yeah, they didn't think like I would talk to them and they're like, I'm like, look, I know what to do here. They train you in the beginning. Most people just click through the videos. I'm watching the videos, like, okay, exclusion, discrimination, whatever, blah, 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 sex, blah, blah. So I'm reading it, you know, I read it, I remember it. Oh,
Yeah,
Florence Nightingale,
you're a
whatever.
sponge with info. You always have been, bro. You read books and it's all in your brain forever for
I
life.
took people's jobs. I got people in trouble. I put people on vacation. I was giving my own life, transfer to another store, giving them a month off with pay, like all that
You
stuff.
sound like a good boss, bro. I'd like work for you. Give me that month off, dog.
But that's what it is. Like, you won't play me like that. You think you're better than me because what? Like, you went just like you're playing the game. Well, you just fucked up because you just violated. I'm gonna play your game better than you, and then you go. You know what I
Yes.
mean? It wasn't even about like because I could have sued them, one company, and I didn't. I was like, no, nah, I'm good. I got whatever. I ain't got time for that kind of stress. But now that I'm my skin's there getting thicker, I'm having more energy, and I'm you know, I'm starting to realize about my kids and stuff. Going to church, like now it's like. With cancel culture and music and everything, it's like, don't treat people right. You look at me and see, you think I'm stupid because I have a tattoo on my face. And now I have a reputation for knowing how to play their game. Without having to code switch, change the way I talk, dress a certain way, cover my tattoos. And it's good to have, and I think whoever's listening to this, if you're in any kind of game and you're miserable or like you're talking about, like you have to,
Protect.
what? Yeah, like, but you can't be what another person is because there's always a way that you can find a way to liberate yourself, emancipate yourself, and still be able to go back into that same job and be
I mean, well,
better.
I feel like there's something like politics. If you were trying to get into upper echelon politics, which only a sociopath would do, you totally have to play the game. But like those are people who they're almost like narcissistic. They don't care, like they're willing to do anything and change, like, you know, fuck somebody over is one thing, but to fuck yourself over by lying yourself, changing yourself, or being the person you didn't want to be, or do things you don't want to do, that's the worst kind of betrayal. But that's how people get ahead, and maybe high corporate offices, maybe high entertainment shit like Hollywood, but definitely in politics, you know. But they don't care, they're all about that, you know.
Well, I've seen the results of that, and this is what pisses me off about feminism too. Like these women
Oh,
who work.
get me canceled on the podcast. No, I'm joking.
Nah, no, because like I think it's a shame that I don't like single mothers. Not like I don't like single mothers. I don't like that there's so many single mothers out there because women had to take on, work hard and be alone for a while before they found a man. And then when they found a man, they didn't respect him because, for whatever reason, they had too many dicks in him. He wasn't her first choice or she made more money than him. All these things. It's like now you want to have kids. And you want to have kids. You want to have kids with this guy for whatever reason. But there's a hole, there's a space in between y'all because you can't put aside who you was. You lied to yourself for so long, you identify as that job, you identify as that money
See
you
what
had.
you mean? Yeah.
It's hard. It's and I and then now you meet a single mother and like she's doing now she needs a man.
I mean, you and I were both raised by single mothers to a degree. Not that we didn't have like a father or father figure, but like you live in, I mean, I live with just my mother most of my life, you know, like, but you know, it's sometimes it's by choice, sometimes it's because maybe the father chooses to be not there. Maybe it's just because it's a healthier relationship for your parents not to be together, you know, like, I know what you mean.
My mother was kind of, my mother was like, she dated everybody. Like, but when she was in a long, like the guy who raised me, he was his mistress, basically. So nobody knew that. I was the only one who knew. My sister didn't know. My brothers didn't know. So I carried a lot of hatred in me when I was a kid because I knew the whole time. I knew my mother made a deal with this man. You know what I'm saying? Basically, like, you upgrade my life, you make sure my kids is good, yeah, we can rock out.
And that's but a wild sacrifice that she might be making, too.
Yeah, she's like, she's
look at that, you're like,
she's Hercules. Like, she's like a real heroine to me, my mother.
Yeah, I mean, bro,
her story's so crazy.
Like, yeah, I mean, dude, I have so much love for my mother, even though she's done things that, like, God, if my girlfriend or my daughter did that shit, I'd be like, what the fuck? And, you know, but I like, fuck, she had a rough life, and she also did great as a parent to some degrees, and like, like you said, it's like hair was like a kryptonite. Like, dude, a goddamn, you know, my mother lives in like a drug adjacent neighborhood. Like, some weird dude walks by and he like steps on the over the sidewalk on the front porch. Like, I'm ready to go crazy. Like, I'll burn a village down. You know what I mean? Like, I love her, even though she drives me nuts. You know, if you're listening, mom, she does. I love you. Don't worry. You know,
I told my mom, the grandmama days. Her name is now Quisabella.
That's a great dude, grandmama days. So, dude, your old monikers. It's great for like kind of spinning off like non. My mother, she was actually, I was just in Boston in October, but she was out here for a week, and she was asking about, she's like, how's your friend Amadeus, John? I was like, oh, he's good. Like this and that. She asked about you.
Oh, well, yeah. I've been seeing her a long time. I always met her a couple of times, but.
Yeah. No,
I like when I saw you with her, because every, I don't care how hard you are, how much money you got, where we at, when you with your mother, you get that kiddish look, you know.
Oh, dude, it's my.
You turn your head, looking at your mother.
I mean, I'll fight with her and she'll drive me batshit. Her and my girl are like both tourists of mad similar. They get along great, but the two of them and me together, it's like I'm ready to blow my brains out. They drive me so nuts. But like, I also love her, you know, and like, she, at least she's cool. Like, my mother's too cool for school. She's got all the style. She doesn't give a shit. She's like, that's where people used to think I was. In the music shit, they thought I would be cocky. I wouldn't talk. It was A, I had bad vision before LASIK, so I couldn't see who people were across the room. And then, you know, B, like, my mother's not too cool for school. She's just not impressed with nothing. And so she was just chilling, but she's a sweet lady. And that's how I was, you know, I was like, oh, you're the OG veteran rap dude, or you got a big single, or a nice car. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, you know, not like I don't give a fuck, like, fuck you, but like, that's not what makes me appreciate or respect somebody. You know, and that's what most people think does, right? I got this sick mansion. I got this job. I got this number one song. I got this big book. I'm the champion fighter, whatever. That shit ain't going to always, like, you know, me and my friends, we have somebody who gets a little success in something. I'm not going to sweat them more. Like, were they cool to me? Do they have a good character? Do they stand up for certain values that I respect? Were they there for me? Sure. That's what's going to make me fuck with you. You know what I mean?
That was a crazy thing with, I ain't gonna say no names, but one time when you was moving, I was going to go help you move. And then somebody gave me a sob story and needed somebody to crash on my couch from another country. And I felt like I abandoned you that day and I was a bad friend. And then he ended up fucking me over too. And he fucked me over in the dumbest way, because it was like, I didn't ask you for nothing. You can fucking, yeah, your man can crash here, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about your song, bro. Stop being sycophantic. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then take me off the song. Like, I don't care. I was like, I'm mad at you for doing it because I didn't ask you to do it. You had me spend all that time writing, shooting a video and all that. And
I didn't want to do it. I've got such a fried memory. I'm trying to like think of who it is. Like, I can't. Don't tell me on the podcast. But like, I'm like.
He's one of them Nazis, dude. He's a Nazi. How you rap? Oh,
okay. Then
easy enough. Right. And here's the thing. Like, so, and I'm going to say this. Anybody who took advantage of me when I was like basically retarded and effeminate, and now you know the truth, I'm not getting no apology. So you know what? You're a Nazi, bro. Mm. I don't care. You're a supremacist. You think you step into my house and try to supplant it, and you put me on the floor, even though I gave you my bed. You can sleep in my bed as a guest. Yeah. You're still gonna try to put me in the basement on the floor. Say whatever, bro. And now that I think about it, I didn't notice until everybody started like literally running away from me when they saw me. They didn't want to talk to me. I don't want that life no more. I don't want no negativity. I'm like, bro, I ain't even say nothing to you about nothing. You know what I'm saying? I ain't say nothing to you. Why you scared? You know what I mean? So, and then there's other things I caught that I wouldn't have caught when I was on the medication, how dudes talk about you and you don't hear them.
Yeah.
Because when you have a lobotomy, when you have a chemical lobotomy, you don't hear stuff.
Having ears to the street that aren't yours is very beneficial, because you'll catch wind. It'll come back to you about what other people say and do. I was very fortunate. I had a lot of people, even if they weren't close friends of me, of mine, they respected me, whatever. And they'd be out. Like, this is years ago. My girlfriend at the time was at a club in Boston with her friends. Some dudes were trying to buy them drinks and sitting with them. A friend of mine was there. He goes up to these dudes. He's like, hey, that's my man, Jake the Snake's girl and her friend. Don't fucking send him drinks. Don't do that. You know, like, having that shit out there is great. Or then, you know, hey, yo, this dude was saying some shit about you, bro. Like, and it's fucked up. Like, you know, you probably wouldn't know it. This guy would smile in my face all the time. Like, having ears out there helps a little bit, but it hurts, though, because then you hear things that make you angry or whatever. You know what I mean?
I wish I had that.
I mean, bro, you did to a degree, you know?
It turned out I had no friends.
I'm your friend.
Nobody respected me. No, I'm saying, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, think about how widespread my name was. All the work I did in all these different places, all the people around me, the people who were closest to me were the ones with their knives deepest in my back.
Well, isn't that always the case, bro? That's always the case, though.
No, I'm talking about the people. It's not always the case. What I'm saying is the people who spent the most time with me, did the most work with me, like, privately, they had their hands in my pocket and knife in my back. And that hurts, bro.
I
never identified as, like, I'm like, yeah, I've seen it all as just part of a creative collaborative process, and that's wrong and right. And yeah. It has been, it's wrong, but I just grew up that, like,
yeah.
I ain't getting the hip hop to make, I ain't getting to the industry to make.
I agree. I think people confuse hip hop with the rap music industry. You know? You and I, I grew up like trying to break dance, not being good at it, but I great graffiti way before I ever thought about rhyming. And people will be like, you know, people in the industry that you and I know, like, yo, Snake, how come you're not like putting out music anymore? This, you don't love hip hop? I'm like, motherfucker, I love hip hop. I was raised on it before I was rhyming. I don't think you love hip hop. You like being in the rap music industry. You like being a part of an industry. I fucking hated that. When I got out of it, I actually felt better, because I was into hip hop before that, and I'm still into it now. That has not to sound like all KRS-One, 4 or 5 Element shit here. I mean, like, I don't care about participating in the rap music industry, having to fucking shake hands, kiss the babies, and play games, and like keep your mouth shut on an FM radio interview about people you don't like. Yeah. Like, I love that I can be free now, because I'm into hip hop, dude. I was writing graffiti, run up and down fucking Green and Orange Line train lines. I was trying to break dance and sucking. I was just into that shit before participating in music. And I didn't, like you, get into making it for money. And nobody in the greater good did. And that's why I think we actually like really meshed as homies, but as music dudes together. Cause our goal was like, let's just make some dope fly shit that's fun. Not trying to. And the only times I got really mad at myself and hated myself was years later in my career, when it was like having a carrot dangled in front of my face, listening to maybe a manager or a record promoter or people in the industry in New York. And I was making songs and like, I fucking hate this. What am I doing? Because I saw it, bigger success so close, and I got jaded a little, and I got so mad at myself. Like, this isn't what I'm doing.
I think it's the, is it centripetal or centrifugal?
Bro, you're hitting me with SAT words, doggy.
Centrifugal force. Spinning and you're getting sucked to the center, the centripetal force. It's the momentum of everything spinning around you. You got your eyes in this one place and you're being stuck towards this place. You think it's success or whatever, money, whatever. And then everything that's spinning around you is spinning around you. You're being influenced by the momentum of an industry.
Yeah.
But you're the culture. So you're being drawn towards this thing, and in the middle, it's just empty, right? It's just empty in the middle. And the closer you get to it, the darker you see how small it is, how small the hole is. And you're like, I don't want that. Because the things that's spinning around you is corrupting your spirit. You feel like,
I think a lot of artists, a lot of creative people are pretty self-critical. A good artist is. An artist is, you bounce back between being wildly confident, like, yo, this is the dopest shit, this is so good, to ripping it apart, being like, fuck, it's not good enough. And the artist who is always wildly confident and never self-critical, they're not really a great artist, and they're delusional. They're an egomaniac. So, you know, you bounce between those two. Like, you make a song, you have a show, you're like, fuck, I just ripped it. Or this album is so fucking sick. You have to be confident like that at some levels, but then you also have to go back into this realm of, fuck, man, this isn't good enough. Well, like, you know, when we're in the greater good, we got 6 dudes who are killing. Somebody does a verse, like, fuck, let me scratch mine out and do another. Which is great, sharpening swords like that. the X-Men, you know, in the danger room. And like, I would go back and forth, but there's nothing worse than being really hard on yourself. And when you're an artist and you make choices, it's, you could write a book or a song or whatever, a bad show, like, fuck, that sucked. I didn't do good up there. I forgot my lyrics. I didn't deliver this right, whatever. But when you make choices, like, I shouldn't have, I didn't like that album cover photo. Why did I listen to it? I don't like that beat. Why did I do it? I don't like this. And like, when I started writing books and podcasting, I promised myself, I'm not going to make those mistakes that I made in music. I don't care if I go nowhere. I'm not going to bite my tongue. And I'm not going to do anything that might give me a little more success. Like, I write about shit that's not going to help me. It's not going to further me. It might hinder me, but nah, this is what I want to do. Fuck them. You know, I did that in music toward the end and I really hated it. I regretted it a lot. And be self-critical. And I think like a lot of artists could get to that point, but if they do make those whack decisions and then don't recognize it, they don't notice it, those dudes are some narcissistic motherfuckers. Oh, they just got a lot of yes men. A lot of yes men around you. Everything's perfect. You're the God, you're the man, and you'll never know. That's the best part about our crew. No yes men. We would be like, yo, you could have done better, bro. You slacked on stage tonight. Like, you could do a better verse. I know you, right? You got this in you. You know? No yes men. Yes men are dangerous, bro.
What's more dangerous than the yes man is a man who doesn't identify as himself when he's got that pen in his hand.
He's got that what? Say that again.
Who doesn't identify as himself when he has that pen in his hand.
Oh, yeah, his pen in his hand. Yeah,
that's a danger, to
searching
yourself.
Searching for your voice, your identity as an artist, and trying to fill in the shoes or the, trace the blueprints of others because you don't know who you want to be. And it's it takes a little while, I think, to find. You know, you have your inspirations, people you love and admire growing up, but you got to find where does Quiz fall into this? Where, how do I tell my story? You know, what's my voice? Well, how can I play to my strengths, you know?
So that's, if this is what people don't understand. This is my solo album that I put out, which is only a few. That's me.
Yeah.
Any other thing I did was me writing for a collaborative project, which is basically like writing for a horror flick or writing for an action movie or writing for a punk rock movie. That's how I've seen it all the time. It's still my artistry, but it's how am I going to tell my story amidst a seven-piece band? Mm. I'm contributing to a story.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Collaborative.
We're trying to make a dope song.
Yeah.
It's an orchestra. Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? That's what all, so even like, you know, Zombie Death Squad or whatever, I seen it as what would be scary for somebody who's not aware, somebody popping out of nowhere and shooting you in the face. So most of the songs was like, that's what it was. I'm the zombie, and you know what I mean? The way I see it, but yeah, that's just, and people forget, when you're in the industry, you have to be able to do that. If not, then you have to have star power. You got to be like,
yeah. And there's rare instances of artists occasionally that don't have to bend and break and bow, and it's just by chance that that happens. You can't go in with that mentality. You just have to be that lucky, timing, be that, you know, talent that appeases a lot of people without having to bend. But it's very rare, dude. It's very rare.
But that's why I like how the algorithm kind of works now, because I hear people, a lot of big artists saying, yo, when you first start doing it, get off your dick. Like, just do what you do and you'll find it. It'll come to you, and then when you get on, now you have it. But for me, I was a loser, right? Bro, no money. I did albums on every continent. You know what I'm saying? I had 65 listens on my, like, music nobody was listening to. And dudes like, why you still do it? I do it for the love. What are you talking about? I did this when I was in solitary in prison. I did this when I was on punishment in the house. I did this in the hallways. Then I would go outside amongst my peers and dudes that would hold me down in the streets. Dudes like we was running around creating chaos with, and we would smile and laugh, get drunk and do it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it starts.
That's the culture.
Passion, it's because you like it. It way before trying to do it for money. And, you know, I mean, I get it. It's
you got to be that. Like, I think it's a lot of these dudes and under, like, you think you're in the music industry because you make music. You're not. You're in your basement making trash. Stop it, bro. Like, you're trying to be this dude. You're trying to be that dude. You're trying to find a formula that works for you to get.
You have, like, the word CEO in their Instagram profile. I'm like, I could be the CEO right now. You could be a CEO whatever you want. It's not hard to become a CEO of your own business. That's just, like, a lame-ass fucking lame-ass title, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, CEO, Warner
Brothers, CEO.
Chief exec. When you say chief executive, executive means action. Chief means in charge. Officer means authority.
Yeah.
So you're the HNIC, right? If you ain't nowhere, you can't blame nobody. You're gonna be a CEO. You know what I'm saying?
It would suck to be the CEO of a shitty small business that's just you in the basement.
Oh, boy, y'all get beat up for saying that. But nah, it's a price, like a like, what's your value? What's your worth? What are you doing? What's your purpose, right? For me, having a lobotomy, being Amadeus and Stampede and all that, it was, I'm doing the best I can with this pen and pad. I'm doing the best I can in the studio. I'm weighed down. I'm not fully here, but I can write my ass off, and I'm just gonna do it. Never went out to try.
Very prolific, dude. Like,
I never said no demo to nobody. I never asked nobody to do nothing for me. Like, none of that. So when it comes down to it, all that stuff I did for free because dudes was in other countries. Yeah. I found it as opportunities. Like, they trying to play towards my heart and everything. And now, I don't regret anything. I got a lot of bars out. I got a lot of ideas out. I work, like, my traumas are in these songs. Yeah. I have 30-some albums I never put out talking about all the drugs I was doing, all my addictions, like, even my porn addiction, everything was in that music.
Yeah.
And, like, my father, I got a song about my father, she and my mother, right, called Our Father. And somebody had called me, like, yo, I want to get that song. Let me buy that song off your remix. And I'm like, no, bro, I didn't make it.
You wanted to remix it? You can't remix it. Yeah. That's like someone doing a cover of like Bob Marley Redemption song. Some things are not.
That's exploitation.
Yeah. Don't remix this, bro. You know? That's
like, they don't know how hard it was for me to write them or record.
I mean, some like, you probably might not even want to listen back to that. Like, there's chapters I wrote in my second book that, like, I don't even, like, when I had to edit them before I even sent them to my editor, I hated having to go over them and reread them and reread them. And it's like, I have a crazy imagination. I'm seeing it again. You might not want to listen to that song because it's going to, you write it, maybe one, two, take it. You're like, I don't want to have to go over this and punch it and, like, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you have a wild imagination, which most artists do.
That's important. Imagination is important. So I have songs recently I wrote as a quiz that no swears in them about spirituality, like, you know what I mean? I did a song like, what is it called, Jungle Book or something. So I'm talking about, like, I got all sorts of stuff, man, that I did.
You're such a wild, and I mean it's such a great way, dude. Like, I got songs with no swears, but I'll go on stage, do stand-up comedy, and like, what, I don't even know whatever you said that pissed people off, or like, I don't like feminism, this and that, but like, I won't swear. You're great, bro. I love you.
No, I'm a feminist, but I'm not a feminist. I believe that women should be equal, but equal doesn't mean the same.
I think there's different.
Equality is accountability and responsibility. There's no equality without accountability and responsibility.
My aunts and my mother's generation is probably different than the feminism you see now, and I believe, like, you know, men and women can do some of the same things and should be able to get the same respect. But I also recognize, like, me and my girl, we have a very traditional relationship. There are some differences. Like, there's just certain things that men are going to be like and women are going to be like. And it's fun to pretend that it's not, but there is, you know, there's really physical differences. Well,
all over the place. Like, I picture, this is what I think a lot of these, like, from civil rights to feminism, even to, like, the rainbow community, the upside down rainbow community. Right, it's all.
Don't get me canceled, though. For the record, Damage Goods Podcast is independent of all guests' opinions and such.
It's an upside down rainbow. I'm not saying it's upside down, bro. Feminism is like this. Like, let's do an analogy that you might be able to trust. Yeah. Right, people might be able to trust. What women wanted
with, like, Ben Shapiro and all these other dudes. We're talking about MMA fighting. This is like a Joe Rogan podcast. No disrespect to Joe Rogan. He used to live in JP. You know, it's all good. MMA, and like, they're going to assume, they're going to take a clip of you, even though there's no context. And they'll be like, look, Jake the Snake hates women. He's a masculine, toxic dude or whatever.
No, women wanted in the beginning. They wanted, so there was this trophy that men had, and women wanted, well, why can't we play to win that trophy? That's what they wanted. They burnt their bras or whatever and all that. And then they got a chance to win a trophy. And then they started winning trophies. And then they said, you can't participate to win this trophy no more. Men aren't allowed to play for the trophy no more. This is where we at with it now. So it's like, but then again, in second thought, women always ran the world. And I don't understand why.
They're smart. Like, dude, if I was a woman, bro, I would be killing shit. I would be killing shit. I would have all the, like, listen, man, not to speak ill of my own family. Like, my father was a G, a literal G, right? I mean, this is a guy who did gangster shit, lived a crazy life, never fucked up, no weaknesses, except women. That was his only weakness. And I watched that, and when I was little, I was like, listen, this dude is a gangster, but he fucks up with women. I'm not going to make that. And like my mother, not to speak ill of her and my aunts, great women, very beautiful, manipulative. Even if they're not, they are. Like, and they don't even know their power. Like, if, like, and I don't knock it. Like, shit, if I was a woman and, you know, the odds are stacked against you, I'd be manipulative as hell too. And men are manipulative in a different way. But I'm just saying, like, men are so easy to trick. Like, I have my female friends and my stepsisters. I'm like, y'all could just make dudes do anything you want if you knew the key. It's so simple. Don't overthink it. You could just control even the toughest, most powerful dudes. I would be killing shit if I was a woman, dude. I would be killing it.
Well, that's so people think, like, throughout history, whatever men did, if they were married, guess who they had to answer to? What kind of man is not fucking falls into, like, turns into putty in his woman's hands?
Yeah, it's true. Either
putty. You think men are voting for who they want to vote for, and women are voting for who they're going to vote for?
Think about it like this: alimony laws and child support laws, right? Which are kind of crazy in some states. They're nuts, and they overly favor the woman. Like, they're ridiculous in some states. Those laws were written by men. So it's dudes who are like, either they wanted to get some pussy, they need to, or they love them so much, they're like, we're going to make the craziest laws. And I'm listening. I mean, dude, I'm not a dirtbag. If I was divorced and a kid, like, don't be a bum-ass father, next wife. But I mean, like, some of these laws are ridiculous. Like, I know family members, friends, they've been getting jerked over that. But those laws are written by men. That just shows you, like, they're still putty in a woman's hand if the woman recognizes that. So that's why I don't fault the woman who's out there, you know, scheming dudes, and you don't fault the man who's scheming chicks, but I don't think anyone should scheme each other. I think we should all be
cool. Women know.
Not
every woman knows is what their values are. Like, for example, if I open the door for a woman, or like, I like to help women pump gas at gas stations, because they're kind of crazy. When it's cold outside, I'm like, yo, I just finished pumping it and you can pull off. That's all I say. I don't ask her name or nothing.
Yeah.
But, because it's cold outside, and that's just how I was raised or whatever. Someone, like, most women are like, wow, your mother raised you right.
Yes.
Well, she beat the shit out of me if I didn't do it. So, yeah, right. But
my father and my uncles would beat the shit out of me. Like, this is how you are. You're old fashioned. You do these things. And don't do it for a thank you. Don't hold the door open so they say something nice. You just do it because it's right.
I didn't hold the door open
for a girl and she won't say, and he'll be like, thank you, or passive aggressive. Like, I'll hold the door for the thank you so you can get a number. Do it because you want. I'll help an old lady across the street. Like, whatever, you know, like,
it's easy to see, like, the bias that a woman has. One time, this is like kind of recent. It was like when I first came out the medication, and I was like, going through the withdrawals. I'm on the train, and there's a lady, she's pregnant. She's with her friends. And I was like, yo, there's a seat right here, or I could get up and you could take both seats. And she looked at me like, right? It doesn't matter what her race was. None of that matters. She's pregnant.
Like, it was condescending, like, oh, what? I need to sit down?
No, she looked at me like, I'm not going to have sex with you. Why are you
fucking me?
Whatever. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, no, no. And she stands up and, like,
that's right. Don't look around. Just hold the door open and look away.
2 stops later, she fell down.
Oh, shit.
And me, you know, being myself.
You laughed.
I laughed. The fuck you want me to do it?
Yeah.
I laughed. But I didn't laugh while I was in her presence.
Yeah,
but when I went home,
got off the stop.
Yeah. Because I felt the way. I felt the way.
That's a movie. That's a TV show scene, bro. Yo, dude, like, the last time I was in New York City, like, the subway is jammed nowadays. Doesn't matter what time of the day, what train line, and, you know, everyone's standing, holding shit. I'll see a whole bunch of dudes sitting down, like, maybe I wouldn't have always given, like, a 25-year-old girl a seat, but a 40-year-old woman with a kids, a grandmother, a 50-year-old, even, like, an older dude. I'm going to let you sit down. I'm a strong dude. I'll stand up. It's all these dudes my age sitting down, chilling, and, like, you know, fucking women and older people standing. I'm like, you sick motherfuckers, dude. Like, you know?
Well, it's an exercise in humility, right? Like,
I mean, like you said,
to be able to
way you were raised, like, anybody 65 and older, I've got a very soft spot for senior citizens, whatever, like, you know, and kids under 11, not 15, 16. You hit 12, nah, you need to learn, and you ain't going to teach a 12-year-old, you know what, it takes a village, word to Hillary Clinton, I'll teach a fucking 12-year-old. 12 to 65, anybody can get it. Like, I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to tell you, you're 8 years old. Okay, I'm giving you a pass. You shouldn't run around the restaurant, but you're 8. You're 12, fucking stop running in the restaurant. You're 62? Nah, you're driving like an idiot. Fuck you. You're 66? Oh, okay, I'm not going to scream at this person driving. I that's my goes 12 to 65, you're going to get it, dude. I'm going to lose my shit. Man, woman, don't matter. But under those ages or above those ages, especially old people, I hate when, dude, especially in America, people treat senior citizens like shit in this country compared to other places.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a, I
hate that shit.
It's the things that go on, but that at the same time, like, we live in anxiety. Like, everybody's fearful. Everybody's filled with anxiety, whether it's showed or not. Inflammation, colon cancer, all this stuff is on the rise, younger and younger and younger, because people aren't moving around. They're sitting around all day.
Sit around eating shit, playing on computers and shit, you know?
And people are like, bro, I eat messed up. Like, people, why you eat like that? How you eat like that?
Bro,
I've been fasting for 16 hours, and I had nothing but salad all week. Like, so.
I have friends of mine my age who, like, you know, they rarely eat that. I'm like, what, dude? I have a salad every night. I have veggies raw in my smoothie. I mean, I'll fuck around and eat some bullshit sometimes, but I'm always eating vegetables. I'm taking vitamins and supplements. You're not even taking vitamins and supplements. I'm exercising 4 days a week minimally, whether I'm working out, surfing, I'm moving. I'll go for walks in LA. Walking is like, who walks in LA? It's crazy. Dude, I go for like 30-minute walks for fun. It's not like Boston, New York walking, but I still do it. In LA, everyone thinks you're homeless. Even if you dress nice and shit, like,
right.
Homeless. Like, I'm not going to walk far, but like, I walk for fun, dude. I'll do like a 30-minute walk, put some headphones in. It's a blast.
Yeah. I'm looking for sponsors right now.
Like AA sponsors or like
sponsors? Not for my MMA. I've been sending stuff out. Like,
dude, so I should get you some like damaged goods, like fucking fight shorts.
I'm like, yo, what's up that Fleshlight sponsorship? Nah, but I'll be looking for like all sorts of sponsors. And I noticed, like, damn, I kind of do be into a lot of good stuff. You don't think about it because you're thinking about, I gotta be healthy.
I got a company that might fuck with you. One of the owners is a Boston dude. And they used to be based out of LA. I'll talk to you off air because I don't, but like they do fuck with like a lot of MMA fighters, and they have shit that's right up your alley. And one of them's Boston dude, one's Connecticut dude, even though they're based out of Nashville now. They used to be out of LA, and they might fuck with you, and their shit's dope. So, I mean, they gave me a
that's
bunch
what's of up, yeah.
Well,
that's
so
a good
talk
note.
Talk about the fight before we get out of here, man. So, like, you know, it's coming up, bro. How are you feeling? Don't reveal your shit. I don't, in case the opponent's listening. Or maybe reveal.
No, it don't matter. Like, you can listen all you want. I'll send them videos. But I post a couple videos on my Instagram, MK Ultrasound. And also, there's another one I got called Spider Monk. That's my fighter name, Spider Monk.
Spider Monk?
Yeah.
That's pretty ill.
Yeah.
Like a spider?
I train in my basement. And I got 8 limbs. There's just layers to that. But I move, right? So I move all the time. I'm in the gym. I'm working out with the guys. I roll with the black belts. I spar with the heavyweights. That's it. I do rounds with white belts. There's a lot of wrestlers in there. It's a really good gym. There's 3 champions in my gym. The heavyweights are really good. A lot of heavyweights have a lot of experience either striking or wrestling. And then the black belts obviously been doing BJJ for 10 plus years. And it's to go into a fight, and like, look, I can make a wrong move with this guy and be asleep. That's it.
Yeah.
For a minute, I can slip. I can slip one punch too slow, and the fight's over. But for me to fight, I'm telling you, I'm doing it. I'm grateful to even have the opportunity to do so. That's why I work so hard. People think, because I laugh a lot and I tell jokes, I don't take it serious. First of all, why so serious? You're getting this shit kicked. Like, I don't understand how you can't enjoy being in pain. You can't enjoy having discipline. You can't wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, throw your shoes on, and know that you're a shitty person for not even wanting to do it in the first place. And fucking, you lazy bastard, get up. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's how I deal with life. Some people deal with it differently. You got like the David Goggins of the world.
Now,
straight
I do
psychopath.
You do, bro. I tap into my guilt, shame, and I'm like, you fucking lazy piece of shit, fat motherfucker. Like, let's go surfing, you bitch. You know, it works for me. I mean, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For me, it's more like, yo.
There's a lot of different ways to get a cat, though. So, you know, it's important that you say that, because what works for you or me may not work for this person. David Goggins might not be for everybody. You know, everyone will listen to that. Cool. That's the key to success. Well, that's the key to success if that's the kind of person you are. There's other ways to do it. Some people, right, with music or whatever, fighting, they train. Fighting in different music, I got to write every day. Books, I got to write every day. I write whenever I want. Sometimes it's 12 hours straight, or I might skip a month, but whatever. Continue. My fault.
I think my dream girl just walked by.
He's single. And
for me,
girls listening, I'm very happy not being single or young.
Well, you know, she had a full trench coat on, so I mean, it wasn't like that.
Trench coats are crazy.
I feel like for me, David Goggins, I watched, I think it was my homie Beneficent sent it to me. And he was like, just watch David Goggins. So I'm watching David Goggins. I'm not even noticing how deep he's penetrated my brain. For four years, 4 o'clock in the morning, stretching and running. Days off? Is there a day off when you do that? No, because when you don't do it, you don't feel good.
Yeah. I think you've got to take a day of rest in some ways to reflect and let your brain, especially if you're using your body all the time, because that is using your brain to tell your arms, your limbs to move a certain way. You got to let it relax, recharge, so you can think about other things. But maybe that's
right.
Just whatever. Yeah, but continue.
Well, that's how I got into Qigong. That's how I got to yoga. Because when I didn't feel, if I ain't run, I have to stretch to feel good. I have to do something to feel good because my nervous system.
As you get older, you got to stretch. What's a dog do the first time it wakes up? It stretches. Yeah. You got to stretch, bro. You're not 20. I'm not 20. I stretch just so I can fucking be limber aside from exercise.
Part of my father figure program is wake up in the morning, stretch while you're laying next to your wife. Feet on the floor, two stretches I got for you. And those two stretches you do, are gonna invigorate you. You're gonna fast. You're gonna take your cold shower. You're not gonna eat too much.
Cold showers are the best, dog. The best.
Yeah. Even like a hot. People don't know hot showers wake you up in the morning.
Well, they're
so you go from
beneficial properties to each.
Yeah, I go from hot to cold, hot to cold, hot to cold, and I try to hold the cold for as long as I can. And if I have to, I put the hot back on. Yeah. But it's. I mean, people don't understand the benefits. Now you got to remember, I'm not doing it because I'm this ill guy. I did it because I would be in so much pain. I remember, I'm going to tell you this story. One time I woke up in the morning and I had missed a dose of my nerve medicine.
Nerve.
And my whole body, my nerve medicine. So my whole nervous system started spasming. And when your nerves spasm, your muscles spasm.
Yeah, yeah.
And my eyes were burning. And, I was crying and screaming hysterically, and my eyes were on fire. My head, my ears felt like they were like melting off my face. And I couldn't move because I'm spasming, right? And I'm crawling to the car and I'm crying. Baby, I'm yelling at my girl. My daughter's crying. I'm calling to the car, get in the car. I drive and get Kratom. I drink it. I feel better. I go to the doctor. He gives me whatever we talk about. He's like, you can't miss a dose. You can't miss a dose. Next thing you know, I want to do karate now. I've been running and doing yoga all this time. I want to do karate. I go to karate class. No control over my body. I'm flailing all over the place. Go home. I'm in so much pain. I'm yelling at my girl just because she's there. Like, that's fucked up. I'm yelling at her. Baby, I don't want to be like this. This ain't me. And she's upstairs. She's scared. She thinks I'm yelling at her about her, but I'm really yelling because I'm in pain. I'm thinking about the trauma I've been through. Go back to that place. And because she started crying and she was so scared, I just downed a bottle of pills. I'm like, I'm sorry, baby. I'm on the phone with my mom. I'm sorry. I downed a bottle of pills in a coma. I died. They resuscitated. I'm in a coma. I wake up. I pull a joint out of my mouth. I slip out the straps. I'm pulling the thing out of my stomach and stuff. And they had to shoot me up. They put me down. Now I'm down for 3 days. 3 day coma. Wake up. Yo, I was so skinny, bro. Like, not skinny. Like, I had no body fat. I had a six pack. My chest was looking good. I couldn't drink water for 24 hours. I was so mad. Then
my cousin just went through that. I
took a picture. I think I put on my old page, but I took a picture. That's when I decided to come up with MK ultrasound.
Fuck, dog. That's nuts, bro.
Yeah, but you know what? Stretching, breathing, Qigong. It's the soft things.
Message. Stretch.
Soft things.
Yeah. Stretch it, bro. So, you got the fight coming up. What are the odds, bro? What should I bet on? I'm not a gambling man. Is there a spread? Is it like sports? Like, I mean, it is a sport, but I don't, you know.
He's heavily favored. So
no, listen. Bet on me. Question, bro. Listen, we're gonna bet. I'm gonna bet a lot. Here's the deal. Will you throw the fight if You know what I'm saying? It's like, let's corrupt it a little. Listen,
we're
going to take a dive. We're going to convince his manager that you're going to take a dive in the third round. But psych, trick question, you're not going to take a dive. You lay the fuck out. We're britches.